This podcast is a ministry of Oriel Christian Assembly in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please visit our website at www.orielchristianassembly.org.
You know, the theme of that conference was answering the call, okay? Answering the call, and this message is really, God gave me this before, but it kind of connects with what we heard all weekend about answering the call. And this brother who shared on Friday night, he says, you know, are we willing to answer the call of God on our lives? And I like what he was saying, because, you know, on our literature and that, we had a phone about answering the call. And he was telling us, are you picking up the phone? Okay? Are we picking up the phone when God is calling? You know, are we picking up the call? Because that's what we need to do. We need to be open to the voice of God, the call of God. You know, and I believe the message today, you're going to see a little bit of that as we see here what happens in the Word. This, what we're going to read out of is Luke chapter 3. So I'm going to ask you to turn there. Luke chapter 3. And we're going to read a little bit about the ministry of John the Baptist. Okay? The ministry of John the Baptist in Luke 3. And, you know, God had been giving me this throughout the week. It really kind of touched me what I saw in here, but it was amazing. After the conference and I went back home to really study and prepare, God gave me so much more in these verses, just revelation begin to come to me, and I was like, wow, Lord, there's so much here, okay? But I want us to really open our hearts today and see what takes place here. John the Baptist was ministering to different people, and as he did, they began to open their hearts, and they said some things the same way that we're going to look at here today. And I hope this can be a reflection of us, where we are in our hearts with the Lord today, that we would be open to what God has for us today, okay? So the message today is entitled, What Shall We Do? Okay? What shall we do? You're going to hear this question more than one time in these verses we're going to read today. What shall we do? And we can make it personal today. What should I do? Okay? God, what do you want me to do? God, what do you want us to do? Okay? This is the heart cry of this chapter, what we're going to read. So, we're going to begin with Luke 3, verse 3. And we're going to try to read through verse 14. Lord willing, I'm going to get through all this. Okay? So again, Luke chapter 3, verses 3 to 14. Amen. Here we go. In verse 3 it says, and again, this is John the Baptist they're talking about here. And he came, meaning John the Baptist, into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. This was the message John the Baptist preached. Verse 4, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. This was the message of John the Baptist, okay? He was to come and preach the gospel and preach repentance to the people so that their sins could be forgiven, they could come back to God. And I like verse 4, it says here, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. So I'm going to ask you today, are you preparing the way of the Lord in your life today? Amen? Are you making for the way of the Lord in your life? Or let me put it this way, are you allowing for the way of the Lord in your life today? I hope I can get some amens. Are you making his path straight in your life? Okay? That was what John the Baptist was preaching to the people. He was saying, you know what? One is going to come, and I'm going to be that one who's coming, and I'm going to prepare the way for the Lord when He comes. Okay? But today, I want you to take that personally, what it says here, to prepare you the way of the Lord in your life. Amen. Are we allowing God to work in our lives today? Are we getting ready for the return of Jesus? Amen. Are we allowing His paths that are straight to be in our life today? Amen. Are we allowing what God wants to be evident in our life today? We need to prepare the way of the Lord in our lives. We need to make sure that our paths are His paths and that they're straight. Amen. Our God is a straight God. Hallelujah. He's not a confused God. Amen. He's a God of order. And this is what John the Baptist came to preach to these people. But it ministers to me and you today too. Let's move on here. Verse 5. Look what's going to happen. He says, every valley shall be filled. Hallelujah. And every mountain and every hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall be made straight. And the rough ways shall be made smooth. Hallelujah. Now we can take this physically today, and that's okay. But I want you to take this spiritually in your life. Amen. Let me ask you today, is spiritual preparation happening in your life? That's what we're talking about here. That some things were going to happen as the Lord was going to come. Okay? Spiritual preparation today. You say, what do you mean, Pastor Rich? I'm happy you want to know. Let me ask you this. Is God filling your valleys in your life? How many know we sometimes have valleys? We don't like them, but we have them. But think about this day. Is God filling your valleys? Is your mountains and hills being leveled in your life? Meaning, there's some things in our lives that, you know what, God has to get rid of today. Amen. There might be some areas of pride in our life. There might be some areas that, you know what, God is not pleased with. And it says here, those mountains that are problems sometimes in our lives, those hills, God is going to level them off in our lives if we let Him. Amen. Is He doing that in your life today? Are the crooked places in your life being made straight? Oh, hallelujah. How many know sometimes we have some crooked places or some areas that are not good, and God has to make them flat and has to get rid of them. Amen. He has to make them straight, just like He was saying here to these people. He's still doing that in our lives today if we let Him. Spiritual preparation. Amen. We need to prepare ourselves for God, for His return. Amen. Spiritually. So you look at this in the natural, but take it spiritually in your life today, that God needs to get rid of those crooked places that are hurting us in our lives. How about the rough ways being made plain or smooth? How many know we sometimes deal with some rough areas of our life? Amen. But God wants to take care of them today, if you let Him. Hallelujah. Our God is a God that won't force Himself. Amen. He's a gentle God. He's a loving God. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. But He wants you to say, do it, Lord. Amen. Have your way in my life. Amen. Get rid of what's not from you. Get rid of what's hurting me today. Get rid of the obstacles. I want to be ready for God to come back. Amen. That's what He's talking about here. This is a blessing. Amen. Obstacles being removed. Let me make a statement to you today, that preparation for blessings is happening. Okay? Before blessings can come, my wife shared the theme of the year, that blessing and increase will come. But before it comes, you know what? There has to be preparation. Anybody with me today? Preparation for blessing. Hallelujah. You got to prepare yourself. You have a part to play in it for the blessings to come. You just because it was said they're going to come, it's not that automatic. Amen. We must have preparation. Preparation precedes the blessings. Amen. I want to give you a couple scriptures to go with this. 2 Timothy chapter 2. about preparation. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. Hallelujah. What does it say? It says, if a man, which means, or a woman, therefore purge himself from these, meaning iniquity and evil and sin, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use. And now listen, and prepared unto every good work. Hallelujah. God wants to use us today. Does anybody know that? Amen. God wants to use you, but before he can use you, you got to purge yourself. Amen. Meaning you got to clean up. You got to clean the vessel. Amen. God wants to use you as a vessel, but you got to be a vessel unto honor. You got to be sanctified. You got to be meet for the master's use. Amen. So there must be what? Preparation in your life. Spiritual preparation. Hallelujah. You're getting prepared for every good work that God wants to use you for. That's what our whole weekend with the men was about. Are you answering the call? Are you listening to the call of God on your life? Are you saying, let him do it? Or let her do it? Amen. We need to all do it, praise God, right? So, preparation here, amen. Preparation precedes blessings, hallelujah. Preparation precedes blessings. Let me give you another example here about the blind man in John chapter 9, verse 7. Let's look at that quickly. John 9, verse 7, hallelujah. Preparation precedes blessings. You're gonna see what I mean here as we look at this, okay? John 9, 7, this is about the blind man, okay? We don't have time to read the whole story, but this one verse says this, and he said unto him, Jesus was speaking, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation meaning sent. He went his way, therefore, and he washed, and he came seeing. This blind man, you know what? He had to do something first before the blessing came. Amen? He had to listen to the Lord. He had to go in the pool and get in the water. Amen? And as he did his part, then God brought the blessing. You see that today? Amen? So what are we talking about here? That there has to be some preparation. There has to be some activity. You have to do something for the blessing to come. Amen. It's important today. Hallelujah. Let me say it to you this way. Effort is demanded. Effort on our part is demanded before a blessing can be given. God's not going to bless you if you don't do nothing. You're too quiet here today. Amen. Praise God. It's the truth, okay? Faith without works is what? Dead. Amen. You know, you might say, oh, I believe Pastor Rich in the Lord, and I believe this, and I believe that. I was listening to a preacher this morning, Apostle Fred Price. I don't know if you ever watch him on TV. He's a great man of God. He's a great teacher. And today he talked about believing and faith. What's the difference? Some of us might think, well, believing and faith is the same thing. He said, no, it ain't. Believing is saying that, you know, I can speak that I believe that God can do this and God can do that. But faith is when you put your belief to action and you do something. Amen. Anybody can say, I believe and I have faith, but what are you doing with your faith? Amen. Effort is demanded of us, okay? This blind man was not going to have his sight restored until effort came forth, okay? We have to do our part. Then the blessing comes. Hallelujah. How many know, though, sometimes in the midst, when we're looking for that blessing to come, there's hindrances in the way. There's hindrances, things that cause the blessing to be delayed. Anybody with me today? And there's all kinds of things today that could cause that blessing from not coming. I'm going to just give you a couple examples. Matthew 19, 21 and 22. Let's turn to that real quick. Matthew 19. And you know the story here. We're going to read just two verses, 21 and 22. This is about the rich young ruler. Okay? There was hindrances in his life to receiving God's real blessing. And look at what Jesus says to him. In verse 21, he says, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. That was what God told him to do. Jesus told him to do that. But look at what happened in verse 22. It says, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Okay? Today, I want you to know that there's hindrances. Worldly possessions sometimes can be a hindrance to us. Money can be a hindrance to us sometimes. Amen? Because if, like this rich young ruler, he said he followed God, he did all the commandments, but there was this one area. All the riches and all the possessions he had controlled him. And because of that, he was not really able to come to that blessing that God had for him. Worldly possessions can be a hindrance. Okay? We have to be careful with them. Let me read you one more scripture about hindrances, and we'll go back to Luke 3. In Hebrews 12:1. Let's look at that quickly. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Sometimes weights and sins can stop our progress, our spiritual preparation. Okay? Hindrances come in like that, and we got to be aware of that. In verse 1 of chapter 12 of Hebrews, it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now here's what I want you to pay attention. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. God is saying here, be careful. Don't let any weights or any sin bog you down. Amen. Don't let any kind of weight or because a sin will be a weight in your life. It'll be a hindrance in your life. It'll stop your progress today. Amen. Your spiritual preparation will be slowed down, all right, because of the hindrances that could come in our life. Weights and sin, they impede our progress. So we got to be careful today that we don't allow any kind of hindrances to come in. Because we want our spiritual preparation to continue. We want to continue to progress in the Lord. Anybody with me today? Don't ever get satisfied where you are. Amen? Don't ever say, oh, I've arrived. I'm okay where I am. No, you're not. If you ever say that, you're backsliding today. Okay? You never get satisfied. You should always want more of God. Okay? Like the song we sang, you know, I'm desperate for you. Hallelujah. I need you, Lord. I'm desperate. Without you, I'm lost. Okay? That means you're thirsty for God. You're hungry for God. You want to continue to grow in God. Hallelujah. That's spiritual preparation. God is working in you. And the blessings are going to come as you do that. Let me move on here. There's a lot in this chapter. Going back to Luke 3, verse 6. It says this, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. All flesh, it says, will see the salvation of God. It means here that, you know what? All mankind, God is going to give all mankind the opportunity to receive the salvation of God. It's a universal call today. Amen? That's how good our God is. He will allow everyone an opportunity, that universal call of salvation will be there in these last days. People are going to have a chance. Amen. They're going to have an opportunity. God gives some many opportunities. Okay? God gave you many opportunities. Amen. You know your life. You know where you were. You know how God reached you. God was knocking on your heart. Amen. He was wooing you in. Amen. And for some of us, we had some hard heads. It took more than one time. Amen. Some of us, you know, he had to keep touching us and keep ministering to us till we finally woke up. The light bulb went on. Anybody here today? Amen. You know, when that light bulb goes on, you see things in a different light. You get revelation knowledge. You get understanding. Amen. So God is saying, I'm going to give everyone a chance, all mankind, but they have a choice to make. Amen. Let's move on here. Verse 7, he said, then said he to the multitude, John the Baptist, okay? He's talking to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him. They were coming to be water baptized. Look at what he says to them. Oh, God. He says, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Now, it doesn't say it there, but we know it. He's talking to a multitude of people. He's talking to a big crowd of people. And you know what? He's actually talking to the religious people of that day. Who? The religious people. And what does he say to them? Oh my God, you talk about a wake-up call. He says to them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He calls them vipers. The religious ones of that day. Oh God. Talk about a wake-up call. Okay? How many know you can go to church, but you may not be changed? You could come to church every Sunday, but you may not really be saved. All right? Just acting the part doesn't mean it's genuine today. And obviously, the religious folk of that day were playing church. And John the Baptist saw right through them. And he called them what they were. And this is what he said to them. Okay? He warned them. And look at what he says in verse 8. He says, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. And begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. So what does he say to them? He says, you know what? If you're really coming to God today, you really are going to seek God, you want to be water baptized, I need to see fruit in your life. Okay? Fruit. Amen. We're not talking about apples and oranges and grapes today. He's talking about fruit in our lives. Okay? God wants to see fruit. And fruit comes because you have repentance in your heart today. Amen. You say, God, change me. Hallelujah. God, fix me. God, heal me. God, forgive me. Amen. That's what John the Baptist is talking about here. And that's the heart of our God today. When we have repentance in our lives, meaning a heart that is changed, that hates sin, okay, you're going to begin to show fruit. You're going to show fruit to people that you're a Christian. Amen. You don't even have to think about it. It's automatic in your life. You just do it because you're changed. Amen. You're a different person now. It doesn't mean you're perfect. Amen. It doesn't mean you've arrived, but God is working in your heart. You're changing from glory to glory. And fruit, you have fruit to show it. Amen. It's for real. It's good fruit. Praise God. So John the Baptist challenges them. He said, don't just talk to me. Show me something. Amen. That's our God today. God wants to see it. Amen. God wants to see the change in our lives because of what? The spiritual preparation that is happening in our lives. God wants to see it. Okay? When we're changed, we hate sin. Amen. We hate sin because God hates sin. Hallelujah. If we don't hate sin, God still needs to work in us and change us. We should hate evil. God hates evil. Okay? That's part of that change that should happen in our hearts and in our minds. Praise God. I want you to realize here today that results are demanded of God. Results. God wants results. Amen. We should want results. Amen. They're demanded of the Lord. Change is needed. Okay? And I like what he tells them here. He says, you know what? You can't lean on Abraham. How many know people today that they say, well, you know what? As long as my wife goes to church, then I'll be okay. I'll get in. Right? Have you ever heard anybody say that? You know, as long as, you know, grandpa, he's in church, he's praying for me, I don't have to go to church, I'll be all right. You know, that's what they were trying to say here. You know, Father Abraham, he's our father, so I'm okay. And John the Baptist said, no, you ain't. You can't get in on the skirt tails of anybody else. Okay? You can't lean on anybody else for your salvation. We all are accountable for ourselves, is what he's telling them here. You can't lean on dad or on mom or on any of your siblings. Okay? You are responsible for you. I am responsible for me. It's a blessing when I have a father that's praying for me that's in church. Amen. It's a blessing when I have a mother who loves God and prays for me every day. How many know that? That's why some of us are here today, because of family and friends who pray for us, right? But you can't walk on their righteousness, okay? It has to be yours today. So we see here, results are demanded of the Lord. Christ must show in your life, okay? It must show. It's got to show, praise God. And it will if God is working. There's spiritual preparation happening in your hearts today, amen. Now let's get to what I want to get to. That was kind of an introduction. Amen. Verse 10. No, let me go back to verse 9. Praise God. And now John the Baptist, he says to them, and now also the axe is laid upon the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not good fruit, is hewn down and cast into the fire. So John the Baptist tells them here, you know what? Judgment is going to come. If you're a good tree, you're going to have good fruit today. Amen. But if you're a bad tree, an evil tree, you're not going to have good fruit. You're going to have evil fruit, bad fruit. And you know what? Those fruits are going to be judged one day. Okay? Judgment will come. God is going to look at us. What did we do? Okay? What did we do with our lives? What kind of fruit did we have? Amen. The bad fruit is going to be cast into the fire. We don't want that to be us today. Now look at how the people reacted. Look at what happened here. Verse 10. It says, and the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? What shall we do, John the Baptist? You know what I see here? God was beginning to work in these people's lives. Amen. I see repentance coming now. Amen. I see God working on the hearts of these people, these religious folks, amen, who knew but weren't doing what they knew. Amen. Today you can know what to do. You can know between right and wrong, but does it mean you'll do right? Amen. You have choices to make, right? But the people were convicted. Hallelujah. The people were touched by the message. Amen. Like I'm believing you are today. And when you get touched by the Lord, you're going to say, what shall we do then? Hallelujah. Anybody with me today? What shall we do then, Lord? Let's make it personal. Lord, what should I do today? This weekend, that's what the men were saying. Lord, what do you want me to do? Hallelujah. What call is on my life? What do you want me to do? Praise God. Not my brother and my sister. You got to speak to them also. But Lord, I need to hear your voice. And I need to answer the call. What do you want me to do? Hallelujah. Man, change was happening here. Okay? All of a sudden, these people were listening to the message. Something was beginning to happen in their lives and they began to show it. Okay? What shall we do then? Are you asking God today? Hallelujah. What do you want me to do? I want you to do that today. Not necessarily at this moment, but you need to do it like they were doing it. God, what do you want me to do? Praise God. Me, personally, what is your call on my life? Praise God. What do you want me to do? You know what I see here? That we must always have as a Christian today, as a believer, praise God. When you hear them say to John the Baptist, what shall we do then? You know what they are beginning to show here? They have a teachable spirit. Oh, hallelujah. A teachable spirit saying, here I am, Lord, teach me. Amen. Lord, I'm here. What do you want me to do? Lord, show me today. Hallelujah. I will submit to you today. Hallelujah. A teachable spirit. Oh, if you want to grow in God today, you want to advance in the kingdom, this is a must. Let me say to you, you must have a teachable spirit. If you want to grow in God and you want to go places in God, just like these people had here, and that's why they said what they said. What shall we do now? They were open to what the servant of God was going to say to them here. Oh, hallelujah. This is so key for us today. I want to give you a couple other examples of this as we look in the Scriptures. Amen. I'm going to read you a couple verses. Matthew 18:3 is one of them here. About examples of teachableness. Okay? Praise God. Let me find this here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Teachableness. It's essential to entrance into God's kingdom today. And I want to read you this one verse in Matthew 18:3. Here he was talking to the disciples, and I've taught on these passages before. You'll remember this. But look at what it says here. It says, and he said here, verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, you know what? You need to change. You need to be converted. You need to be like children. Amen. Why? Because children are teachable today. Anybody listening today? Children are open to instruction. Hallelujah. Children will say, show me. How do I do this? Teach me. Amen. Sometimes as we grow and we become adults and we get older in our age, you know what? We get bullheaded. We don't want to listen to anybody else. You come to a place like you know it all. Amen. But how many know today there's always something more to learn? As long as you're teachable, you'll continue to learn. Amen. Continue to grow. Amen. In wisdom and knowledge and understanding. You have to be like a child. Jesus was telling the disciples. What a profound statement. Unless you become like a child, you know what? You won't even enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus told his 12 disciples today. Wow. Teachable. Is it important? You better believe it. How about Paul the Apostle? The great man of God. What an example from this man of God. We see in the book of Acts. This was the secret of Paul's success. How many know he was very successful, Paul? But he sure went through a lot of hell. Amen? But he was anointed of God to be the great apostle. Amen? But it started with this. In Acts 9:6, he says here, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? On the way to Damascus. You remember the story in Acts. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, knocked him off his horse. And this was his response. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Oh, hallelujah. That's teachable today. Amen. Lord, here I am. Do what you want to do with me. Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say? How do you want me to live my life? Teachable. Amen. Because he was teachable. He was open to the call of God. God used Paul tremendously. There's many other examples I could show you today from the Scriptures, from the disciples, how they were teachable. And that's why they were able to do the things that they did. We got to be teachable today. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. Never stop growing in the Lord. Be open. Praise God. Have that teachable spirit. Okay? Very important here. Let me move on. I got to finish this with you. Amen. Verse 11. So now, John the Baptist replies to their question. What do you want us to do? He says, and he answered and he said unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise. So he says, you know what? What should you do? You should what? Love people. Amen. Help people. Somebody who don't have a coat and you got more than one coat, give them your coat. Amen. Those who are hungry, if you got enough, not only for you and your family, but for somebody else, give them some food. Amen. So what is he saying? Love people. Help people. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Let me move on here. Praise God. It doesn't stop here. Verse 12 says, then came also publicans to be baptized. The tax collectors. Here they come. Amen. It's funny how we talk to the tax collectors. Amen. There's something there for us. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, they came to be baptized, and look at what happens. They said unto him, Master, what shall we do? Wow. There it is again. The same question. These tax collectors were teachable. They were open to the man of God, and they said, what do you want us to do? Tax collectors, the publicans of that day. Oh, hallelujah. That's pretty interesting. They were the same way as the other multitudes of people that came. Those were the religious folks. Now you're looking at the professional people, the business people come to Jesus, the tax collectors. What does he say to them now, John the Baptist? Let's see. Verse 13. And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed unto you. Real simple. He says, you know what? Collect what you're supposed to collect. Don't cheat the people. Amen. Let me break it down real simple. Do right. Do what's right. Amen. Don't, you know, take this much for what it needs to be and take the rest and put it in your pocket. As tax collectors, you know, they were able to do all kinds of stuff. They were not looked upon in a good way back then, tax collectors. You know, we could talk about other types of people nowadays that are not looked upon too well in our society too. Right? So he tells them, you know what? Just collect what you're supposed to. Do what's right, and you'll be blessed. Amen? He says, and you need to see this here, extortion is condemned here. Extortion is condemned. Amen? Stealing is condemned. Don't take what don't belong to you. Can I get an amen today? Right? Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. But they were the same way as the religious folks. They were teachable, the tax collectors. They came to a point in their life, they were teachable. Instruction was sought. Okay? Here's another point I want to make as we look at this today. You got to be teachable, and you got to be one that seeks instruction. Amen? You're open to it. I want to learn more. Praise God. I know I can go further. Amen? I haven't arrived. I don't know it all. Teach me. I'm open to instruction. Amen. Let me give you another example of this. Praise God. John 6:28. I'll read it to you quickly here. These were people that were following Jesus in his day. Okay? This is how what he says to them. It says, then said they unto him, the people responded to Jesus here. It says, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? These are the people that were following Jesus. They sought instruction. They were teachable. Okay? They said, Lord, what do you want us to do that we can do the things you're doing? Hallelujah. Anybody have that desire today? Amen? How many want to work the works of God today? Amen? Yes, we should all raise our hands. And if you're going to do that, you got to be teachable. You got to seek instruction today. Amen. You got to be one that is willing to be taught. Oh, hallelujah. So let me ask you here today, as we get to this last part, do you seek instruction from God? Do you seek instruction from God? I sure hope everyone says yes. Amen. But let me go a little further. How about from others? Are you willing to receive instruction from others that God puts in your path? Amen. I sure hope so, right? How about from your pastor? Are you willing to receive instruction, right? I hope so, amen. Because we'll grow. We'll be better for it. We'll be advanced. We'll progress spiritually. We'll do more for the kingdom, amen. We learn from one another. How about it today, amen? Some are older than others. They've been through more than others, so they can teach, right? We look to the elders. We look to those who have white hair because what? They've been through a lot. Nowadays, though, they dye it and make it black. So you don't know that. Amen. Grecian formless still works, right? Amen. That's for the men. I don't know if men still use that. Amen. Whatever. Praise God. But you look to the elder, right? You look to the one who's been through it because they know, right? They'll give you wisdom, but you got to seek instruction. Amen. You got to want it today. You don't refuse it, right? Praise God. All right. One more set of people in this chapter. We're going to close here today. Go back to Luke 3. In verse 14, it says, and the soldiers, there's another set of people here come to Jesus, or come to John the Baptist. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, did you hear that? Saying, and what shall we do? Wow. What shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. Wow, what a powerful statement. I want you to notice here that now we have another set of people come to John the Baptist, but they ask him the same thing. What should we do? And they demanded of him the answer. I mean, they wanted to know. These were soldiers who had authority. They came to John the Baptist with authority and said, you got to tell us what we need to do. They weren't going to let him leave, okay? And he gives them another answer. Okay? I like it here, what he says. Don't do violence to no man. Let me put it in layman's terms today. Respect each other. Amen? Respect each other. You know, don't do wrong to your brother or your sister. You know, don't mistreat them. Don't do violence, right? Neither falsely accuse anyone. Don't lie. Okay? Even if you like this person better than that person, don't falsely accuse people. Tell the truth. I know I'm hitting home here today. Amen. Be honest, right? As people of authority, the soldiers, they had authority. You know, they could easily accuse somebody falsely and get away with it because they were the soldiers. They represented power on the earth at that time. Could be like our police officers today. Amen. So he says, don't be that way, okay? Don't accuse anybody falsely. And interesting, he says here, be content and satisfied with your wages. Did you catch that today? Be content and satisfied with your wages or your rations or your supplies or your allowance. We can use all these different terms here. How many know today that's important that we're content? Amen. Or let me put it this way. Be happy. Amen. God wants you to be happy today. Content. And be satisfied where you are. Don't have a negative response or negative attitude. I don't make enough money. You know, I could use more. This and that. You know what? You got to be content where you are. Paul said, I'm happy in whatever state I am. That's a blessing today. It doesn't mean you can't go for more, right? God wants you to have more, but how's your attitude with the less today? Ooh, I got real quiet here. Let me read you one scripture to close here. This is a favorite scripture of mine that is so important. 1 Timothy 6:6. What does it say? It says this. You don't have to turn there. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Oh, hallelujah. Let me read that again. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Okay? You want to be content today? Be godly. Praise God. Because as you're godly, as you walk with God, God is going to make you happy. God is going to make sure that you are content and that you're pleased and that you're satisfied. And you know what? That is great gain in your life. You don't have to be a millionaire to be content today. Okay? You don't have to have 3 homes and 4 cars and a yacht and all this kind of stuff to be content or be satisfied or be happy. You need to be walking with the Lord. Godliness, it's the answer here. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen. So, let me say this to you. I'm done. Praise God. 3 different types of people that we see here. We see in review. The religious folk of that day, the religious people of that day that John the Baptist ministered to, Then we saw the professional or the business person, the tax collectors. And then we saw people with authority or power, the soldiers of that day. All different people in different areas of their life. But you know what? They all relate to us today. In some way or another, we're all in there. Okay? The question is, are we saying the same thing today as they did? Are we saying, Lord, what shall we do? Amen. Are you saying personally, Lord, what should I do? Oh, hallelujah. Lord, this could be Oriel as a group here today, as our church represented. Say, Lord, what do you want Oriel Christian Assembly to do? Amen. Let me say this to you. If our hearts are open like that today, we have a teachable spirit like that, we seek instruction, things are going to happen. Praise God. God is going to do some things in your life because you're at this place. These people had to get to this place. Amen. I pray that we're there and that we will continue from this point as we go into this year. It's going to be March tomorrow. 2 months are gone. Okay? Let's have God have His way this year as we progress in 2010. Let's stand. Amen. I hope this has been encouraging to you. Praise God. I hope it's been an eye-awakening to you. That you will always have a heart like this. That will say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Praise God. It may not be the most profound statement, but it, man, it's down to earth and it's right there. God's going to hear you when you say that today. Lord, what do you want me to do? If you're not happy today, church, then maybe you need to ask the Lord this question. Lord, what do you want me to do different? Lord, what do you want me to change? In what area? Let God speak to you today. Amen. Take this and take it home, this message. Look at it again. Look what God did in the lives of these different people in different areas of their life, different states that they were in. But God touched them and they all said the same thing. Lord, what do you want us to do? Father, I pray today, God, as we close this service, that God, you have been speaking to our hearts, to our minds, Lord. That God, we realize today that you are a personal God, Lord, and that you speak to us all individually as well as corporately today, Lord. You are speaking to us individually. That small, still voice is speaking to every one of us today. God, I pray that your voice would be so clear that you will speak to each one, each family here today, in a way that they will hear what you have to say to them. That, Lord, you will make it clear what you want them to do this year of 2010. Lord, we want to be better than last year. Lord, we want to spiritually prepare ourselves and spiritually progress in you this year. We don't want to be where we were last year. We want to advance, Lord, this year. So I ask God today that you will speak to each individual here. Do a work in every heart and every mind represented here today, God. That, Father, we could be in that place you want us to be, listening to your voice. Lord, not only hearing and listening to what you said, but applying what you tell us to do so that, Lord, we can make a difference in our lives and in the lives of others, Lord. Let a blessing chase each one here today, each family, God, that we will go out encouraged and excited, Lord, that you have a plan for us, that your hand is on our life today. Lord, we bless you and glorify you today. In Jesus' name we ask this, Lord. Amen and amen. God bless.